I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Better Call Saul.
In the order that it was broadcast.
Forward Call Saul.
Just a podcast. Podcast. This is a podcast.
Podcast.
Greetings, everyone. Unfortunately, from not a restaurant is where we are recording.
Got so sick, you guys.
Meg is recovering from a big stomach thing, and she's like, the idea of being around other people, let alone eating the food their hands have touched, disgusts me.
It wasn't so. In reality, the day that we wanted to go and do it last week, I had a very high fever and terrible stomach cramps. I had to go to the hospital for my tum-tum. But it turns out I probably had a very severe form of food poisoning. So it was not contagious at all anyhow.
That's good. That's
but
good.
At the moment, I didn't know that, you know. Anyhow, so I was sick and we didn't go to Cheesecake Factory or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, then we watched episode one of season two.
Better and that one was really fun.
This episode you liked?
It was a little fun.
You thought this episode was fun? I love this episode.
I like this episode.
Yeah, it's called Nintendo Switch. And it is...
It's just called Switch. Adam's pulling a whoopsie-doopsie.
I was playing my Nintendo Switch the other day, and my stepdad called it a Nintendo Snatch. And I loved that. I want to take mine to some sort of jeweler and be like, can you remove the Switch logo and change it to a Nintendo Snatch somehow? I know that does away with the warranty. I do not care. and I'm going to find some sort of hacker to go in and change the menus and everything to say Nintendo Snatch. I love it so much.
I like it because you know how they call like a lady's vagina a snatch?
That's exactly why I like it.
Yeah.
It's slang
for... We're on
the
same page on
vagina.
This, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Could you imagine if that was what... There was just like a lot of vagina games?
That'd be great. I don't even think there's one vagina game. There should be more.
There should be at least three.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're playing your Snatch, and it was Super Snatch Brothers?
Super Snatch Brothers is what I was playing.
Okay. that's a gross game.
The Super Snatch Brothers? That seems like a game. That's like... It's like a couple of date rapists were like, no, we wanted to make a game. We just wanted to make a game for guys like us.
We just love to go out. We've read The Secret or whatever the fuck. What? Yeah.
We love the pickup artist.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. That's
we
the one, yeah.
love Ed Hardy. I don't know. And we made Super Snatch Brothers. Which is
and
funny.
And the two brothers who just, you know, just going to town. In the same room, on the same bed even, on a couple of women they picked up at a bar.
Yep. Actually, Super Smash Brothers could also work for those two fellas as a
for
name
sure.
for a game.
Yeah, suggestive as all get out. Anyhow, so we played or watched Switch, and it was fun.
I like this episode a lot. This is I've been on record saying this is my favorite season, and this is this is one-tenth of my favorite season of this show.
Hmm.
It's all here. A tenth of it.
And,
yeah, and it's a lot of visual metaphors, or exactly one visual metaphor at the very end.
Because of the plant, the picture.
Oh, I was thinking the light switch that just says "Do not touch," and he immediately touches.
And then nothing happens.
He's like, I can get away with whatever I want. He's like, what? I'll always just poke at something if I think it won't hurt anything.
Yeah.
My curiosity shall get the better of me.
It does seem like he naturally pushes back against arbitrary boundaries and people he deems as more crooked than he.
Yep.
At least right now, it seems like he's got some scruples about who he's gifting.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a seedy Batman.
Mm-hmm. And he also just, he seems like he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder about how he's perceived. Which sometimes maybe leads him to leaning into that persona.
It's wild because it's like he's perceived in a way that the way he was perceived is as though he's a grifty, guy, mm-hmm. but he's coming from a place where he was nothing but a grifty guy. Mm-hmm. So why is he mad that he's perceived as like he only ever was that way before? You know, we don't see him as a. I don't know.
Because I think he's like, I worked my ass off to go to law school, and I worked in a mailroom for so long, and I passed the bar on my own, and I'm still a grifty guy. You still think I'm a grifty boy? Well, I'll show you a grifty boy.
And like, all right, shit. I mean, yeah. I guess what can you do?
Kim kind of says it when he's like, I quit the law. And she's like, isn't that exactly what Chuck wants? He's like, well, yeah, because he's leaning into it. I'm just gonna scam this one guy at this same country club, and I'll come back. I don't care if he comes back.
How does it even begin? I guess it begins with,
our seasonal dive into the future is how it begins.
Oh, yes, it does. Oh, man. What a depressing life this guy has.
As someone who's worked a lot of, like, shitty retail and food service jobs, they nail the cadence of closing time.
Really?
Yeah, have you worked, like, at, like, I don't know. I've never worked in, like, a
food court. I worked at a Blockbuster.
Similar, yeah, actually. I worked at, like, a Dunkin' Donuts, and I worked at an Applebee's, and just the locking up all the little stuff, and the biggest part that was, like, hit home was when he has the two trash bags, all the trash from that day.
Yeah.
And he locked up, and that's when the two employees could leave. And he's like, all right, get home safe. Because you do that with the closing crews. Everyone, like, makes sure everything's done. And they're like, is everything done? Okay, great. Well, bye. We all locked up. And then he goes and takes out the trash.
There was some part of me, and I know this is probably not how it is, but like the fact that he left it for him to take out the trash and not make one of the two employees or both of the employees take the trash out was like a little bit gallant of him, I guess, or chivalrous. In my mind, it was
chivalrous
thing that he did.
I thought you were going to say sexist. Like, just make the ladies take out the trash.
I mean, I guess it's two sides of the same coin, right?
Yes, like, fair.
But there was a part of me in this instance that in my mind, I thought Jimmy was doing it, or I guess what's his name here?
Gene Takovic.
Yeah. That in Gene's mind, it's like, at least I'm still a nice guy to my younger female employees, which like Mikey might be construed as like, you know, sexist.
Yeah.
Right?
It feels like Gene after the Saul days is maybe a little return to the Jimmy attitude.
Of just like putting his head, keeping his head down and trying to work hard.
Yeah. As the runner of a Cinnabon. I wonder if that, I was actually thinking, I might have brought this up on the first episode. Would they have to pay Cinnabon for the rights to use their store and shit?
So, like, there was definitely, because it's like such a central plot point, that there's definitely like long. Like, lawyers were paid on both sides to negotiate this and what could and could happen, could and could not happen in the Cinnabon and all of those things. So, like, I don't know that they paid Cinnabon, but they definitely, like, did a lot of negotiating with Cinnabon. And I'm sure Cinnabon was like, we can't have any... Now, I might be putting my foot in my mouth, but they're like, we can't have any crimes that Gene is the perpetrator of. Happen inside our Cinnabon. We are not like a safe haven for criminals to hide out in, but if a criminal comes here, that's something different. You know what I mean? Just like Apple won't let bad guys use their products in movies and stuff like that. You
they
know?
Won't?
No, that they no. If you pay attention, no villain in a movie has an iPhone.
I didn't know that. That's stupid.
I know, it is pretty dumb.
I know a lot of bad people with iPhones.
I mean, in general, I think Apple is the most litigious, because think of how many times you've seen a Pear computer in a television show or in a movie.
I would argue Disney's the most litigious, because that's why copyrights never expire, is because of them. Or else we'd all be able to put Mickey Mouse in everything.
That's very true.
But every time it comes up to public domain, they go, oh, no, we'd like to keep it. I'm Paul McCartney, Disney's lawyer.
Pretty sure you were doing like a Lennon, but
I was doing a Lennon. Was I? Okay. John Lennon sounds like this, and George Harrison sounds like this, and Paul sounds like this, and Ringo sounds like this. I was doing Ringo the first time.
Yeah, Ringo. There you go. I'm not really a Beatles person. I'm sure you very much are.
I was watching 60 Minutes last night with my mother and stepfather, and they had a segment on Peter Jackson's new documentary on the Beatles. And they said, in it contains several, like, hours of unseen footage of the Beatles recording Let It Be, and I want to fucking know. They have been broken up since 1969. How much more unseen footage is there? I think we've seen all the footage. Where
That's
you find it?
That's probably true. Yeah, and at some point, like that, at least the viewable version of that footage, that well has to have gone dry, don't
probably.
You think?
Yeah, two of them are dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what's the hard part about watching a little bit of that documentary or the preview for it?
Mm.
When the Beatles broke up, they were... So they broke up. Like, they'd done all their Beatles shit and were doing the last of their Beatles shit. They were 29. They were 29, Meg. They got famous and they were like 20.
Fuck.
I know.
I don't want to know things like that.
I don't want to know things like that either. When I was like 18, it was cool. I was like, yeah, man, my 20s when you do stuff. And then your 20s end and you're like, oh, no, I didn't do stuff. I should.
But, you know, here's arguably more famous than the Beatles is a little guy named Jesus Christ. And he didn't do his big thing until he was 32. And
That's true. You've got
a little bit of time.
That's fair. I mean, I think he did his best work as a baby.
He did a lot of great shit as a baby. But he did his biggest trick where he died and came back. Mm-hmm. 32.
That's fair. I thought it was 33.
Maybe it was. I'm not great with Bible facts.
Okay. I am, as a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I'm not a Christian. I mean, technically, there's probably my names on, like, a Christian certificate somewhere.
I feel like all my... I was such a pain in the ass in Sunday school that I'm pretty sure they revoked my privileges.
I don't know. Like, because I got my first communion, and I'm sure there's a certificate, and, like, they were like, yeah, you'll need this, or you can't get a license, or whatever.
You are a Catholic?
Yeah, I was Catholic.
You are a Catholic? You were a Catholic? I was also a Catholic.
I was a Catholic?
And,
AKA and the right religion.
The only good version of Christianity. Mm-hmm. I think, I have no opinion on that, actually. I forgot why I brought all this up. Other than, like, I gave up, I haven't gotten all my sacraments, and I'm worried that...
What? Meg!
I haven't.
What? You didn't? I knew there was something fucking off about you. I knew there was something fucking off and wrong about you. Which ones you skipping?
Everything after First Communion, I guess.
You didn't have reconciliation?
Is that when you, is that your first confession?
Oh, yeah, actually that's before First Communion, so never mind.
I didn't ever do whatever you do in eighth grade.
Confirmation, which honestly feels a bit thrown in there. First communion really? Feels like a thing. And then I think the next one after that is fucking marriage, which feels like a real thing. But confirmation is just the bishop puts some jizz on your forehead and is like, you're confirmed now. It's not jizz, it's oil or whatever the fuck. But I called it jizz because that's our brand. But I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. Oh, and then the other one's being ordained as a priest. Did you get that one?
I'm ordained as a minister.
Not the same thing. You didn't go to seminary.
Are you ordained as a priest?
Not a priest. No.
What are you ordained as?
A minister.
Okay. Well, so we're not that far off. Yeah, I didn't get confirmed. And when I got married, it was in Vegas. So I didn't get married in a church.
And then the other
one. It's probably because of the confirmation thing. But
I forget what the last one's called, but it's like a thing you do when you are about to die.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to get that
the
one.
Last sacrament or
last
something?
Last rites or something. Yeah. It sucks for people dying in car crashes or explosions because they don't get it.
You can just say, like, sorry about that. And then the priest is like, oh, it's cool. And then he goes straight to heaven.
You just keep one in your car? You keep a priest in your car? How are you going to do that?
I remember when my friends were going off to war. You remember the war.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, okay, the priest is coming to, like, bless you now. And it was, like, a thing they, like, made time. They're, like, mom had the Catholic priest come and give them some, like, protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, Catholicism's so fucking witchy.
Oh, it's real witchy.
it's bizarrely witchy.
If it was real. When they bless things, they should, like, glow a little bit.
Yeah, they should, or rattle. Wouldn't it be cool if there was like, you know? Yeah,
And or like they can like fake it, guys. Do a hoax. Every time you bless something, get in there first and like plant an LED bulb somewhere.
You know, if you've ever been to Universal Studios, you'll have, and you've gone to the Wizarding World Harry Potter, you'll have gone to the special effects show called Ollivanders and watched like a kid wave a wand.
I've been in like, Ollivander's wand shop in Disney.
So like they should, it's very doable. Oh,
that was my favorite part, as a non-Harry Potter fan, that was my favorite part of that whole thing. I thought that was really well done.
Where like all the different special effects would happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was great. Guys, go there. I don't know if they have it in Florida.
Have fun.
They have it in LA. Yeah.
They have it in Florida. It was, yeah, they have a times two version in Florida.
There's two men as Ollivander? Didn't they say the,
yeah, they kiss,
say the same thing?
And,
they kiss? Yeah.
They kiss. And every time they tell you to cast a spell, they kiss a little. And then they say, I don't know about you, but I'm Wingardium Leviosa. My nipples. You thought I was going to say penis. No, I was going to say the Harry Potter world is twice as big there.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say nipples.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You cannot zag, and I will think you'll zig. I'll always know. So Jimmy's taking the trash out.
Yeah, and he gets stuck in a room.
For 2.5 hours, I didn't realize how long it was, which isn't a crazy long time.
Yeah, it's not like he was in any type of jeopardy. It's just a real pain in the ass.
It's unfortunate that it was, it seems to be, this roughly takes place, what, 2009, 2008? Which is roughly the era where, like, some people had smartphones, but not everyone had smartphones.
Definitely not Gene, the Cinnabon King.
Yeah, like, your rich friends had smartphones. And I'm sure they're upset that it's not a status symbol anymore. Because now, the poor's got them, the middle's got them.
Oh, you get them for free if you sign your kids up for a phone plan.
And I'll find you a phone if you need a phone. Like,
and it'll be good, and it'll be a smartphone.
Yeah. Like, I remember that back then, you were a billionaire, and you're like, it's got 2G.
I remember when LTE started to be a thing in, like, 2011.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was like, you're switching up the naming convention, and I like it. I like the chutzpah.
So he contemplates, he could have, you know, kind of gotten out sooner, but he doesn't want to press the emergency exit door because he doesn't want the police sniffing into his business. So he just sits on a crate and he etches into the wall. Saul Goodman was here, but it just says SG was here with a nail.
It says, I thought it says JM was there, but did it say SG? I
see. SG.
Oh, it did say SG. Why don't I think it was Jimmy McGill? He probably shouldn't have written that. Isn't Saul Goodman like the one that's wanted? Jimmy McGill's not wanted.
True. But it also seems like he identifies more as Saul Goodman than he does as Jimmy McGill.
That's fair. We never heard him say the name Jimmy in the original show.
Well, didn't he say name's McGill?
Said McGill, but not Jimmy. Whoa, it's 2002 now.
And we are back to where we left off at the end of season one. Mm-hmm. And he is going to meet with the people at the Warner Brothers company. What was it called? I forgot.
Davis and Maine. And I forget. Davis. What? Did we in the, because they throw in a scene here that wasn't in the finale, but that is in between two other scenes that were in the finale. Did we see him talk to them at all in the finale, or does he just like look like he's about to go and then immediately walks away?
Right. Yeah.
That's what happened. Okay.
That's why I was confused, because I was like, oh, okay. I guess he's hanging out with, what's this guy, Ed Begley Jr.?
What?
That's his name, Ed Begley Jr.
That's who plays the new lawyer guy?
Yeah.
Is he in stuff?
Oh, so much.
Oh, really? He looks like a lawyer.
Yeah.
I just thought he was some lawyer.
He often plays doctors and lawyers and, like, mayors and shit like that. Yeah.
His name is Clifford Maine.
Oh, checks out.
You'll see him this season a bunch, obviously.
Yeah, he was most recently in my friend's web series, believe it or not, called Control Alt Delete. He played. Do you want to know what it's called? Do you want to know what Control Alt Delete is about?
That sounds like a very apt name for a web series. But what's Control Alt Delete all about? That sounded snarkier than it meant to be. I wasn't implying poor value on Control-Alt-Delete. I was just saying that sounds like the name of a web series.
It's a workplace comedy that takes place in an abortion clinic. Mm. And he played, in at least the second season, a doctor there.
Oh.
Yeah. And anyhow, so he's a nice guy and he's very liberal. And I think you would like him. I don't think you would dislike him.
Mm.
He always kind of plays a little bit bumbling. So I'm wondering if this lawyer is... at all?
Not really.
Dumb.
I mean, I guess not really. I could spoil it. He's not dumb. He has a firm that.
He's smart. He's smart. And competent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play like a bumbling abortion doctor. He was a competent, nice guy. But he plays like a kind person always.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. He's. I like him. I like him in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. You'll get to know him. He good.
He good. Actually,
he good. Yeah, it's okay. They do this. So sometimes they'll do this with prequels where it's really annoying, where they will like have a character in the prequel. And then at the end of the prequel, they get like plastic surgery and they turned out to be a person that you knew the whole time in the main thing. So he's Walter White.
It's like this trope is not real, but OK.
They did that trope in a season of Fargo.
OK, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
And they did that in... Star Wars, because you're like, that's not Darth Vader. He doesn't have a big black mask. And they're like,
that's just a mask, Adam. That's just a mask.
Well, when I watched the original Star Wars, I thought it was his face.
That would be wild if, like, it was just these, like, I'm one of the plastic guys. I come from the plastic guy planet.
real question. Sorry, guys, but I don't care. In Star Wars, the stormtroopers in Darth Vader, is that supposed to be plastic in universe or is it supposed to be metal?
I think it's supposed to be plastic. I think it's supposed to be like space plastic that's good, but I don't think it's supposed to be metal.
Because like when the clone troopers are later on and they're like all CGI, it looks like metal. But I don't know.
The robotic troopers, are you talking about?
No. The clone troopers in, like, Attack of the Clones, they're and Revenge of the Sith, they fight the robotic troopers. But they're just all CGI.
Yeah, I don't remember. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Guys, I'm sorry for all of that.
We know this is mostly a Star Wars podcast.
It's a Star Wars podcast. When I talk about Star Wars, our listenership blasts up.
Just out of control. Just a blip of it. It's the same when we talk about Lauren Scharf at LL Cool Scharf on
Lauren Scharf
everything.
At LL Cool Scharf. Yep, we'll put it in. We'll put it in the description.
Yeah.
So, okay. Do you think, this is my question, do you think they clearly were, when they wrote the finale, intending
of
that
Star Wars?
This is a fucking Better Call Saul podcast. I'm done with that shit.
I'm talking about Better Call Saul.
A TV show on the AMC network.
Okay, yes.
Prequel to smash hit Breaking Bad. Do you think that they very much intended Jimmy to not take the job, and then they were like, "Nah, wouldn't it be cool if he took the job?" And then this whole episode is just retconning that decision.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I was thinking about how. I'm sorry. I was just thinking about how Bryan Cranston isn't leading man material. But go ahead.
He's 100% leading man material. What the fuck are you talking
about? Not when it comes to movies. Not when it comes to movies.
He's in that movie where he plays James Franco's dad-in-law. And he's great.
I think it was a total bust.
It was a bust, but he was fine.
He has a huge box office draw. Trumbo, another bust.
All the marketing of Godzilla was around him, but he did die in the first. No, it wasn't a bust. Wasn't a bust.
Oh, yeah. That was the only one that made money, and he was barely in it, and I don't think anybody went to see him.
No, people did come to see him, or else they wouldn't have included him in the marketing because he's barely in the movie. Meg, they came to see him. I came to see him.
So tell me about the other question. I'm sorry.
Do you think that when they wrote the season one finale, that they very much intended, like, this season he won't go back to Davis and Maine, but then later on change their mind, and this episode's just a big retcon of that, and they're like, no, he actually did take the job, but we have to write an episode explaining why?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they just didn't really... like think of what they were gonna do next, and then they're like, you know what, fuck, I think we have to walk it back, and he has to take it.
And they also, I forgot how explicitly he, because him and Kim's relationship is kind of like implied, inferred a little bit in the first season, but Mm-hmm. It kind of in one flashback, and then they just seem like kind of fun buds. He straight up in this scene says, like, so is this ever going to happen? And I forgot about that line, how explicitly he just comes out and says it. Did that throw you off?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there was a part of me that was like, if you're already going that far, why don't you just be a little bit more direct and, like, try to get to the bottom of this, or just take her out and have this conversation somewhere else? Because, mm-hmm. you know, what is she supposed to do with a group of men who she wants to view her as a colleague? Like, she's going to respond that way. It's like an unfair situation he put her in.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is, like, the first season, it didn't feel like he was exactly, like, pining for her. It just felt like something might happen, but this line very much implies, like, oh, no, he's carrying a torch, and he's been carrying a torch for a while.
Yeah, I guess there was a part of me that was, like, confused about, like, I understood him. I didn't see... I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. Like, it seemed like, obviously, the death of Marco rattled him.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't, some of the decision making didn't really track for me in terms of, like, why he'd walk away from having that job that Marco basically imagined him having.
Because he wants to be a criminal.
Because Kim, what?
He wants to be a criminal now.
But because Kim wasn't avoiding being in a serious relationship with him just because they worked at the same place together.
So what I think is going on a little bit also, and I did kind of like how this was structured, is he's like, Is this contingent on me getting this job? And she was like, one has nothing to do with the other. And I think he kind of took that as, oh, sweet, so I can quit this job and there's still a chance I might be with Kim. All right, bye, guys.
Oh, okay. Because I took it as him being like, I've been, like, flirting with this idea and I thought it wasn't happening because we worked together. And now you're telling me that, like, it hasn't happened and that's not the reason. Well, fuck it all. So I guess I'm not sure what his true motivation was.
The reason I thought the thing I said was because at the end, it seems like Kim's kind of avoiding him. And he's like, oh, well, I'll get the law. I guess she does want me to be a lawyer. I'll get the law. I'll go back.
Yeah, I did notice that. But also, like... way to be a fucking too much, man. Calling her like 3 times in a row.
Man, that day after you first had sex with someone for the first time, and you're like, where are we at? How much do we communicate?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wait, but they've had sex before, right?
Seems like not for years, and not after like a declaration of a little bit of intent from Jimmy this time.
Yeah.
It feels, and it seems like he likes her a lot more now. I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. You know that day after where you're like, what do I do? What are they doing with their day?
I don't know. Oh. I haven't had one of those in a long time.
But we're old. We know this experience. All right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I think, for me, I don't know if this is a window into my crazy brain. I think immediately, like, if I really like somebody that day after, I'm like, what does this mean? A little bit. Is that too much? Am I sick in the head thinking that?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
I think, really? Like, is this serious now? Or are they thinking that? But, yeah. So that's where I'm usually at as the in that scenario. It hasn't happened in a hot minute. But, I don't know.
Do you ever still use the pandemic as an excuse for not being social, even though we can kind of do everything now? Because I'm like, it's a pandemic.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a pandemic. 100%. I can't go out.
Actually, like, my kids both got the shot. And even with my kids, I'm going to go visit my parents in Vegas. And I was still, my mom just started, like, stacking different shit we were going to do just nonstop, one right after the other. And I was like, well, we got to be careful. They're not fully vaccinated yet. Like, I still am trying to be like, no, we don't have to. We can just hang around in our pajamas most of the day watching TV still. It's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. Ugh. I miss that pandemic. It was good times.
Ah!
No, I mean, it was bad times. It was bad times.
It was bad times. It was a bad time.
Yeah, Jimmy, he walks out and then we see him do the smoke on the water thing. He goes back and he drinks a bunch of
Cucumber water.
Cucumber water in defiance of What's her name? Mrs. Nguyen. Mrs. Nguyen. Do you know what Jimmy's car is? Did we talk about this?
It seems like a shitbox. I mean, it obviously is a shitbox. What type of car is it?
It's a Suzuki Esteem.
Oh, okay.
Didn't know that. Didn't know either of those makes or models.
Yeah.
And he rips the... He's like, I'm not a liar anymore!
And he goes and floats in a pool.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And Kim shows up. Oh, no, I like that he keeps his cell phone in a little bag.
When I go to the beach. I appreciate that. I was blown away that it floats. You know, that was kind of wild.
The chutzpah to just trust that it won't get... How much would a flip phone in 2002 have cost?
Oh, God. $150, maybe? Maybe $200?
Yeah. Is this like a country club he's at? Is that what's going on?
I think so, or it's like one of those resorts that they have.
It says here Jimmy relaxes in a posh hotel pool.
Mm. Yeah. It looks fantastic. I would like to hang out there. And I was kind of like, I'm a little food obsessed right now because all I've eaten is soup for a week. But yeah. I was like, man, I would totally house some dips and chips. Like I don't know. It looked like a nice time.
I used to work at a nice hotel in LA, and it was like, whew, yeah, that's the life.
When did that happen?
Right when I moved there, kind of before I met, I temped in the HR department of the Roosevelt Hotel on Hollywood.
Oh, I've been there for sure. Yeah, they have a great pool there. Yeah.
What an awful job that was. Don't work for their HR department, you guys. You just sit in a windowless room and organize files. That's all I did. I own a chocolate factory.
Now you run the chocolate factory with your shirtless men.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God.
Yep.
You live the life.
Yep. And if I need anything filed away, I get a hunk to do it.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. And it's so fun watching a hunk in a little room with filing cabinets because their muscles keep poking up against the drawers. It's great.
I can imagine, like, because the hunks, they're so bulging with their muscles that even when they like walk their fingers through the files, you can watch their biceps dance, you know?
Yep, you sure can. It's great.
Perks of the job.
Perks of the job. Well, Kim shows up looking great. We love her. We all love Kim.
She's keeping it tight. She's looking nice in her little pencil skirt with blouse ensemble. And she's like, hey, numbnuts, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, hey, what? I'll buy a swimsuit and come over here. And then she goes, yeah, you idiot. And then she's like, I'm going to the bar. And that's the long and short of that conversation.
Yep. And then he goes to the bar and he's wearing kind of a dad shirt. This peach.
Oh, polo. Yeah. This peach affair. Yeah.
I don't like it. It doesn't feel very... I mean, I guess. I don't know. I didn't like it. I don't like that shirt.
So he's just been grifting.
You see, sorry, so much of the show is built on you thinking Bob Odenkirk's really hot, and I feel like Howard's kind of taken that. But you see
I love him so much.
But you see him in like a Hawaiian shirt with his, you see full tits on him, full tummy, and you kind of just breeze by it. And I wonder, like, are you over him?
I'm not like over him, but I did see Howard Hamlin in all of his 8-foot glory in a suit strappingly before him with his beautiful blonde hair. And I guess I just, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. What am I supposed to do? He's Howard Hamlin. He's so beautiful.
Yeah, I guess just the new dog comes into town. We put the old dog down is how.
Yeah, we shoot him. It's like a problem dog. No, I mean, listen, we've got Jimmy McGill there, and I guess I'm a selfish mama, and I don't like to see him hug and kiss on other girls, and I just have to watch him hug and kiss on Kim.
Yeah, because he
didn't
really do that.
And Howard Hamlin is totally pristine.
He hugged and kissed no one in Breaking Bad, so you didn't have to see that.
Yeah. It is a charming little love story, but, all
right,
Do you think it's charming? Well, I think it's, I don't know, right now it's harmless, right? Like, what happens next? He tries to grift the hotel out of some liquor. She says no. He's like, hey, here's the thing. I don't want to do law. And she builds a lot of interesting points. showing how much she cares about him and his future and his ambitions, mm-hmm. and is concerned with the choices that he's making. And he's like, let me show you something. And guess who it was in the bar that was being a piece of shit that gets everybody's attention because he talks so loud?
Ken wins.
Yeah.
With before his car exploded.
Yeah. And one thing I want to point out about Ken wins is that he does not let these type of like setbacks bother him, seemingly.
No.
He's not any more cautious or understated after this event than he is in a few years. My
question for Ken wins is, were Bluetooths popular for this long? Because if he was having one here in 2002, and he was using it again in 2007, I thought Bluetooth was a very small window when people did that sort of thing.
No, because people still use those like Bluetooth things, I feel like.
I feel like for whatever reason, and I don't know why, socially AirPods are less douchey. And that's what people use now. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I feel like Bluetooth was a thing that I saw with regularity. How about this?
Okay.
Maybe it's not that Bluetooth had that long of a window where it was, you know, a good accessory, but not unlike the way my uncle really didn't want to give up his BlackBerry, Ken just is dependent on this one type of device and resists change.
Okay, fair. That's fair. Or the opposite of that, which could also be true, is Bluetooth did become really big in like 2005, 2006, 2007, and he's just an early adopter. He's like,
that's very true.
I'm striking why the iron's hot on this thing.
Yeah, I'm first in the door.
Literally everyone at this bar is going, what is that in your ear? He's like, this thing costs $3,000 is what this cost me. No wires.
And it's frying all my lymph nodes.
Yeah.
So Ken wins, and Ken wins hard. And Jimmy's like, watch, this is fun, and we'll make a whole night of it. It'll be great, and we can have a great evening.
As Victor and Giselle.
Yeah, they scam him into thinking they're brother and sister, and they just inherited money from their uncle, and there's a couple, $1.6 million? How much was it? I forgot.
It doesn't matter. It was 1.4, but I have no idea. What would $1.4 million be today?
$2 million.
We're gonna find out.
Maybe it'd be closer to 1.89 or something, but yeah.
That's 1,400,000, right?
Yeah. How bad is it? How much am I off?
Oh, I accidentally wrote 14 million. Hold on, stand by.
That's so silly.
I fucked up. What was your guess? Sorry.
Anywhere between 1.85 and 2.
You're a little under. It's 2.15.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That Joe Biden and his damn inflation.
Oh, yeah. It's all him.
It's all him.
It's only just happened in the last year.
Yeah. In 2019, $1.4 million in 2002 was $1.3 million in 2019. yeah. Ken does win. This bottle of tequila they grift from him, $50 a shot. Do you remember where you've seen this?
Is it the same one that Gus would have given but they put poison in it or whatever?
Yeah, it's that same brand because they have that same special cork thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, now I'm gonna double check. Now I feel bad. Now I feel like, yep, it is the same one. I'm looking at a picture of Don Eladio holding the bottle.
Ken, they basically grift him into paying for their meal and thinking that they have this money, and they leave, and then they kiss by the pool, and Ken is like, holy shit, I just spent $1,500 on tequila. This is going to ruin me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother him for a second.
I like the snarky server who, if we were still doing that old bit we did on that old show, we'd probably talk about him. I didn't even look him up. But he's like, is this right? He goes, that's right. That's great. yeah, Jim Kisses Jimmy, which came out of left field. I thought they were this friends.
You knew they weren't. This was a moment I was like, oh, this would be so cool if this happened in real life.
It would be. It'd be real sweet. I like that Jimmy immediately crumples up the pink slip and throws it in the pool. It's great.
I like that he went, ha wah wah wah, like that.
yeah, they kiss and then they probably fuck.
They definitely. He has her finger in his mouth. Like, that's not something you do just like if you kiss somebody.
Is this the first time you've seen her in like not law clothes?
Maybe. There was that time she was just like in that sexy lingerie on the bed, and he called her, and she was like, "That's too much printing, Jimmy." And
she was in sexy lingerie.
I know.
I would have remembered that. I would have never like. There's the plot device of the book Infinite Jest is a film that is so entertaining you can't look away, and then you eventually die of dehydration. That would have been my perfect entertainment, just like Kim Wexler in a sexy outfit. Meg has nothing to say. She has nothing to say.
Can't you just wear IV? Didn't they just use an IV? How long is the movie?
Well, I think it plays over and over again. And it's more of a metaphor for like entertainment as a whole and a sedentary lifestyle, I think.
Why don't they just use an IV?
The problem is they like it's kind of like making its way around like underground circles, like people, like it's kind of like The Ring. People don't realize they're watching it until they're watching it.
Oh.
And then they're like, and then like they'll just die, and then they're fucked for the rest of their life, because like even if you do save them, they're like, they'll do whatever they want. They'll suck as many dicks as they can to watch this again.
Really? Mm-hmm. So it's like heroin.
It's like heroin, yeah. That's actually, I think, part of the metaphor is because the book is also about drug use. And it kind of compares media to heroin. Good book.
That seems like a big swing, but all right, I'm here for it.
I think screen addiction is very real, and
I think screen addiction's real, but I don't know.
Spend so much time refreshing YouTube. I can't knock the metaphor. I can't do it.
You know what you need this. I can't believe I was about to say this. You need to just have one of my big depressive bouts where I go, I hate all these things, and I get rid of all my social media, and I won't look at a screen for days at a time.
Not a screen. I haven't. Because, like, Nintendo ain't never done me dirty. I can't.
Oh, no. I'll go, what's even the point?
I do that. I will be like, yeah. Who cares? I'll be like, well, maybe I should do a side quest and I can get more armor. Yeah, but who cares? The game just ends eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta just have one of those and you'll reset. And then you'll slowly get back and it's a vicious cycle.
I need to delete YouTube off my phone. But then I go to it through the Chrome browser is the problem.
Do you really get that caught up in YouTube? Like
so much. It's my... I don't go through any other social media except for that. It's bad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. That's wild. I oddly enough, will get sometimes caught up in like an Instagram reel wormhole that is essentially just recycled TikTok videos that I will get caught up in, but I'm very easy to put down TikTok. I don't know. People say TikTok is like you freeze like a lizard and then an hour and a half goes by, but for me, TikTok is not like a great medium.
There's something about like some YouTuber who I really like, and then I'll see they like upload a video that's like 40 minutes, and I'll be like, oh God, I get 40 minutes of this. I can't wait.
Really? You can handle that? Oh boy.
Because usually Brock should... I usually put it on in the background, but it's like I need something in the background all the time. That's the problem.
I'm like that too sometimes. When I was little, I used to get scared by myself a lot, and if I had to take a shower or bath by myself, I would have to have like the TV on super loud, like just so I didn't hear anything else happening in the background. Which is not the same thing at all that you're describing, but I think it's a hallmark of ADHD.
That's fun that this very real conversation of screen addiction and it's the role it plays in our lives started from you talking about a sexy image of the actress Ray Seahorn.
That didn't even exist. So they clearly had intercourse, mm-hmm. and Adam's in denial because he doesn't want to think about Bob Odenkirk hugging and kissing on the girl he likes a lot.
I don't want to. She's my girl.
Yeah, exactly. That's so... Don't you feel a little complicated about Bob right now?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Anyone's going to have her. It's going to be Bob.
Not fucking Howard Hamlin.
I want Bob to have her. I like him.
I think that Howard Hamlin would try much harder to keep her happy than Bob. Bob seems like he's okay, I think that Jimmy McGill seems very prone to little temper tantrums, mm-hmm. and I think Howard Hamlin would be like, baby, please, I bought you something nice. So, okay, let's move past it.
That's exactly what I was about, the point I was about to make. I think Howard Hamlin would try to keep her happy with money. And
yeah.
There's so much more than money, Meg.
But I think, okay, true. But I just feel like Howard Hamlin's a little bit more measured of a person, personality-wise, than Jimmy McGill, who just gave up law because his brother was mad at him.
He gave up law for, like, an afternoon.
Yeah, but then, I don't know. I guess I just... It seems as though you want a reliable life partner who's going to give you a good life and any, you know, like...
But you also want a partner at
the big law firm, you know.
But not if they're no fun. You want a fun life
partner.
Howard's not fun. He's not fun. Because he can't toss the pigskin around.
Oh, that man does nothing, but he played college ball, and you can tell.
Okay, he probably played college ball. That's not what I'm talking about, Meg. I'm saying he can't be like, do you want to go toss the old pigskin around? He can't do that. He'd be too competitive.
I see what you're saying, but also, like, have you seen those shoulders? Because I don't really mind.
I've seen those shoulders. And you know what? I bet the suit is padded.
Stop it.
I bet the suit's padded.
Do not take this from me.
They're not real.
Stop. That's not fair. I'm not going and I'm not taking down Kim. I'm not saying, you know what, Kim? She's just pretending to be that stern.
Because Kim's not a blonde man. That's why I don't like Howard.
All right. Well, agree to disagree,
I guess. Right, yeah, they do a cute toothbrush bit.
That to me screams... They didn't just make out art. Okay, they definitely had sex.
He said her germs are intermingled, but she won't share the toothbrush, which I get.
And then he makes a gross flossing joke.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't guess what I floss with. Colgate
floss.
And it's
her pubic hair.
Oh, he meant her pubic hair. Oh, I thought he meant like an off-brand generic floss.
No, he goes, and you have a big bush.
He did
and
see a big bush.
Yeah, and she goes, oh, I don't know. He goes, it's glorious. And she goes, oh, I don't know.
He did say that. I thought those weren't related, but that makes sense. That was a pube joke. Okay, I get it. That's fair.
You didn't see how the pube joke and them talking explicitly about her blonde.
Yeah, I didn't. I must have looked at my phone.
Yeah.
She does. He does mention that she has a large bush. Which good for her.
And then. Yeah, and then he goes back to the pool and floats around and compulsively calls her.
There's a little sad bit where she's like, you got somewhere to be today? And he's like, yeah, I got a place to go. Where does he live? Do we know yet? Does he just live
I think he slips on that pull-out couch in the nail spa, right?
I guess that's so. He's there at night a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Tell me if that's true or
no,
not.
No, you've seen, like, I'm saying... Right now, that we don't know, like the exact. I am not even joking. I'm like, where the fuck does he live? It's not like Breaking Bad, where they have like a very central location they go to all the time. That's clearly where the main characters live.
Yeah,
they do for Mike. We've seen Mike's house, have we?
No.
Yeah, we have. He got arrested there. Not arrested, but the Philadelphia PD
cops showed up there. Yeah.
No, yeah. Jimmy goes back to the pool, and he did you find these calls attractive?
No, they seemed very... If I were Kim in this situation, I go, oh, boy.
What did I do?
Oh, uh-oh. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, I would be nervous, like, oh, well, I think I made a mistake. Like, I would have very easily been turned off. I've turned a person off just by, before even meeting them, like, texting 3 times in a row.
Yeah,
so,
I've done that.
Yeah, like... And it was just like building on a joke, which I would do with you or any of my friends. But if you, you know, mm-hmm. you got to be careful. He needs to be more careful. She might be afraid. He's a, you know, stage five clinger or whatever yep. you want to call it.
Fair, fair. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's like, well, first he sees two attractive people, equally attractive.
I think there's a wide gap between the attractiveness levels, but go ahead.
You think he's hotter than her?
I think she is supposed to be hotter than him. I think he's just a hairy old gross lump of a man.
He probably has money, though, right?
A lot.
Yeah. She's really pretty, this lady. And she smiles at Jimmy. Yeah. She's wearing high heels at the pool. That's on purpose.
Seems like, though, I always go to the pool flat-footed, barefooted, yeah, and that's why I don't, these men don't talk to me, but.
And he's like, I should take the job. And
because Kim won't talk. Sorry, my butt's asleep and my foot's asleep, so yeah, I have to you. Crouch like this.
Yes, Kim specifically said, like, we can't do that every day. Because he's like, well, I mean, we could.
Yeah.
Get his grip over there.
Were you surprised when you first saw this to see that Kim was so fucking down to, like, do this for one night?
A little bit, yeah. Because you think she's such a stern ass. But she's also, she's shown glimpses of being pretty fun.
She seems like she could be fun, but, like, this isn't, like, my idea of a fun time. I think I'm a fun person.
This seems fun. Messing with people. Seems cool.
Seems cool.
Especially a big jerk.
And then, what else happens? Oh, yeah, he goes and he takes the job, and it's nice. Where they are is really nice.
He can get as much art as he wants. He, is gonna get a Coco Bolo desk, which was apparently, I'm reading this now, I didn't realize, that was the kind, when he was touring that office he bought, that was the kind he wanted to buy.
Yep.
And then he's like, oh, a visual metaphor on the wall. Well, let's play with this for a little bit. And he turns a switch off that says, do not turn this switch off.
It's always on, always.
It's always on. That's the episode, but let's circle back. Do the mic stuff, a.k.a. But Mike's barely in the mic stuff. He's only in some of the mic stuff.
Yeah, so Mike is like, hey, I'm going to go do this gig. And then I just call him Colin Robinson. I guess Pierce is his stage name. Comes up and he's in a Hummer and it's so gaudy and Mike tries to talk him out of going to the deal. And the guy's like, well, fuck you, I guess. I'm big man on campus now.
My old stepmom had a Hummer. It was an H2.
Your stepmom had an H2?
And I think around the same year, around 2002, she had an H2. Slate blue, hers was.
We're talking about, okay.
My former stepmother.
Yeah. Yeah, those are stupid cars.
I thought it was a dumb car at the time. I did. It did have a DVD player in it that played on two screens on the back of each front seat, which was pretty cool.
That seems nice.
And you could play two movies, so one person could watch one movie, and another person could watch the other movie.
Did you guys go on a lot of road trips?
No, but like if you want to watch a little bit of Stuart Little on the way to the grocery store, it's like a good way to do that.
You didn't live in a particularly rural area, did you?
No, Meg, but if you want to drive 10 minutes to the grocery store and you want to watch 10 minutes of Stuart Little 2, then it's a good way to do that.
Adam, I want to tell you something.
What?
You found a lot of reasons to blame all of your life's problems on, like, very different things, and I want to tell you this right here is the root of all of your problems.
This is the root of all my problems? This is the screen addiction?
No, I think this watching Stuart Little 2 for 10 minutes on your way to the grocery store and not being able to be alone with your thoughts when you were a child is maybe the single most telltale sign. I mean, listen, I'm guilty of everything.
Yeah, you're probably
would have been you if I don't have, like, if I didn't, wasn't born with terrible motion sickness, I probably would have had the same issue, but I can't watch stuff in the car or else I'll throw up. This seems like it's the kernel of all the problems.
Yeah, we also had Cheaper by the Dozen too on DVD.
No fucking way. Was Steve Martin in that one too?
He was in that one too. I don't think Ashton Kutcher
Hillary
came
Duff?
Back. I think Hillary Duff was in that. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, just something to think about.
I agree. That's a good point. Yeah, you can really draw a straight line.
Sorry to do that on mic. I should have saved that for afterwards.
No, that was good. No, that was good. That was good that we did that. Mike's like, I'm not getting in that fucking thing. And he's like,
because it's too ostentatious.
Did you think Colin Robinson was being a little sexy here when he's like, well, the gravy train's leaving the station?
There was a little part of me that was like, look at him sticking up for himself. I kind of like it. You know, he's wrong 100%. But
I ain't paying you the price of three people. And you know, what do? You stand around.
Yeah. And so then Colin Robinson goes to the thing with Nacho and shows off his car and is like, get in my car. He says it emphatically.
Matching shoes.
Yeah. If I didn't outwardly hate the color yellow as much as I do, I would have been a little bit into these shoes. Like, I like a big, bold colored shoe, but I detest yellow.
I just don't think it goes with the rest of his outfit. It goes with his car really well.
It doesn't go with his outfit. He looks sucking stupid. Just put on blue jeans or something.
Did you know, unless you were paying attention, I rewound to see this. I never noticed this before because I must have been looking down or something in the shot every time. There's a wide shot in the scene before Nacho shows up. It might be when Nacho drives up and a hummingbird flies into. Yeah. Did you see that? That was cool. Yeah. And it just stops in the middle of the frame.
Yeah, and goes. That was something I debated whether or not they planned that or is CGI or if that just happened.
I feel like that would have just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like someone was like, oh, holy shit.
Can
we use that take? That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Mm-hmm. So when Nacho shows up, they do the drug exchange, but he clearly is up to something. And when he gets in the car, he looks at the registration and gets the dude's address.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have. That was mean of Nacho.
Yeah, he shouldn't have wanted to know where this guy lived.
That's crime shit. You shouldn't do crime shit. And he like was nice. He's like, hey, I don't need to count the pills. I trust you. And then Colin Robinson was like, thanks. What a nice man.
Maybe this drug deal thing will work out fine after all.
And I think the only thing we see in this is the cops, right? Colin Robinson's house gets robbed.
Yeah, and he's not such an astute criminal that when he, calls the cops, but then also before the cops arrive, checks on his stash of where the pills are, rearranges where the trash is on the ground. His place has been ransacked.
For baseball cards.
Yeah, all the baseball cards are stolen, and he's very ornery about it.
And we need to go with that. I love how he talks to the cops. It's very funny.
Honestly, if I'm not saying, and I don't want you to hold on to this forever as an admission that I think Colin Robinson is sexy. Okay?
I know you think Colin Robinson is sexy.
No, I don't. I don't think that. But if it were not for this moment with the baseball cards, I would have been like, sure, we could hang out. I now, one, adult men and their baseball cards, I hate that.
Oh.
I hate that. It's too much. Why do they like them so much? These old men, why do they like their baseball cards so much?
I mean, we all have our thing. I got board games. I collect those and I'm like, uh-oh, missing a component. I'm missing a piece. And I'm a weirdo about it.
I've dated or been married to men with baseball card things.
Okay.
And they like, can I tell you a baseball card at man story?
Sure.
After getting intimate with a man for the first time once, he then took out his baseball cards and showed me all of them. Like, what?
It's pretty tight.
No, it was awful.
It wasn't tight? Okay. Would you rather a man be really into baseball cards or Pokemon cards?
Oh, God. Jesus, God. Neither. You have to choose?
It's would you rather, Meg.
I have to. Okay. I guess I almost rather Pokemon cards, and I'll explain why, because I at least have some frame of reference for what it is, because Pokemon was like pretty popular when I was in middle school, and it's been popular for a long time. Baseball cards, I truly don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
What about basketball cards?
I feel like it's the same thing. Unless it's a Michael Jordan basketball card. Yeah. Is it a Michael Jordan basketball
card?
Yeah,
Michael Jordan basketball card.
Versus a big stack of Mewtwo's?
Yeah, a big stack of Mewtwo's, and one Mew is in there.
One, is there an ancient Mew?
It's an ancient Mew, yeah. And a shiny Ivysaur. A shiny Venusaur. What am I saying? They wouldn't make a shiny Ivysaur, unless it's some bullshit.
I can't decide here.
Okay, you can't decide. That's fair.
Now it's too good at choices on both sides.
Okay, last question. Would you rather date a guy who's really into baseball cards or Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I guess this instance I'd say baseball
cards. Yeah, I'd pick baseball on that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Yu-Gi-Oh is, like, deep trash.
I don't know enough about it.
I don't know anything about it, but I do know it's deep trash.
Would you rather date a guy who is okay, this is important. This is going to take some explanation. Into baseball cards, that one's the same, or playing cards. And so hear me out. They're not into, like, let's play war or poker. They collect playing cards, like, this ace I got in Chattanooga. And I love, and like they have a binder with a bunch of playing cards that they collected at different places. Like, ooh.
So they're not necessarily like, oh, these are World War II relics, or like, mm-hmm. this is from the Civil War. They're just, he like, kind of the way people collect state quarters, he collects baseball cards.
Or no, he collects playing cards. Yeah. And you're like, do you even have a single 52-card deck? Like, yeah, but they're all different. The backs are all different. So the answer is,
I guess, baseball cards here?
Okay, because this guy's just a freak.
This guy just sounds like a headache. Yeah. He doesn't know. He simultaneously doesn't know what he wants and gets exactly what he wants. And it's too much. I can't handle a man.
This
like
is a queen of hearts I stole from Queen Elizabeth. Like,
I mean, that's a ballsy guy.
That's a pretty cool thing. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's this. You said it's the same two cops that replied, or one of them was the same cop that replied to Walter White's domestic disturbance in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The white guy was in the one where he's like, "Hey, I'm trying to help you, Skylar, but you got to give me something to work with here." You know.
Got it. Okay. Nice. Well, that's the episode. Yeah. What do you give it?
Seems like an A to me.
An A. That's good. I'd probably give it an A-.
All right, shit.
What do you think Donna Bowman at the AV Club gives it?
I think she gives it A-.
She gives it a B+.
Fuck.
She megged it. She did a meg. And so let's hear what she writes.
There's not enough fucking stuffy imagery for me.
In King James III, William Shakespeare's fourth. No, she, oh, God, she does use the, she describes the black and white as lyrically and brutally rendered, which, okay, calm down, Donna. The last sentence is always fun. Regardless, that tiny act of defiance is an invisible graffito on this tastefully appointed office walls. Slippin' Jimmy was here. She's talking about the fucking light switch or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. This is random, and I know no one's here. No one's listening to this part. Do you remember when Trump did a State of the Union? Not a State of the Union. He did like a From the Oval Office address, and then the footage leaked of what he was like immediately after he thought the cameras were off, and he just went... Okay.
Like, yeah, that was right when he was like, hey, COVID's real and bad. Yeah. But yeah.
I've been saying that lately and I don't know why. Okay. It was the most humanizing thing that man's ever done.
Yeah. That and when that bald eagle kind of like took a swipe at him.
Yeah. Oh, that and then when he was right about everything.
Adam.
No, I believe it. I believe he's also handsome. Everyone knows it. He says so.
Stop it, Adam.
Guys, this is a fun one. Rarely do we actually fill an hour. And no one says we need to, but we like to. It feels right.
It's a thing we have for us.
Yeah. Well, until next time. It's showtime.
It's showtime, folks.
Just a podcast.
On my day.
This is a podcast.
Podcast.